darkness had fallen, the city was blacked out. He walked back to his hotel, got in well after midnight, and the next day returned by train to Montmelon. That was my big night in Paris. Private Bradford Freeman from Lowndes County, Mississippi, got a pass to Paris. 46 years later, he recalled of his one day in the City of Lights. I didn't care for what I saw, so I went back to camp. There appeared to be no hurry about getting to Paris, as the general impression was that the paratroopers were going to stay in camp until the good campaigning weather returned in the spring. At that time, they expected to jump into Germany, on the far side of the Rhine. The impression was reinforced when General Taylor flew back to the States to participate in conferences regarding proposed changes in organization and equipment of the American Airborne Divisions. It became a certainty on December 10th, when Taylor's deputy, Brigadier General Gerald Higgins, flew to England with 5 senior officers from the 101st to give a series of lectures on Market Garden. Command passed to Brigadier General Anthony McAuliffe, the division's artillery commander. Veterans were returning from hospital, new recruits coming in. Buck Compton rejoined the company, recovered from his wound in Holland. Lieutenant Jack Foley, who had hooked up as a replacement during the last week in Holland, became assistant platoon leader of 2nd Platoon under Lieutenant Compton. The men, Foley remembered, were a mixture of seasoned combat veterans, some with just Holland under their belts, and of course, green replacements. The replacements, 18 and 19-year-olds fresh from the States, were wide-eyed. Although the veterans were only a year or two older, they looked terrifying to the recruits. They were supposed to have handed in their live ammunition when they left Holland, but almost none had done so. They walked around Camp Mourmelon with hand grenades hanging off their belts, clips of ammunition on their harness, wearing their knives and unauthorized sidearms. To the recruits, they looked like a bunch of killers from the French Foreign Legion. To the veterans, the recruits looked tender. Company Commander Lieutenant Dyke, Welsh, Shames, Foley, Compton, and other officers worked at blending the recruits into the outfit to bring them up to Easy's standard of teamwork and individual skills. But it was difficult, as the veterans could not take field maneuvers seriously. By the end of the second week in December, the company was back to about 65% of its strength in enlisted men. Officer strength was at 112.5%. with Dyke in command, Welsh serving as XO, and 2 lieutenants per platoon plus a spare.